This is Doug Miller. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. There can be no peace in this world until Jerusalem is at peace. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best. And he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged to be back with you one more time with the Bible in hand to speak into this microphone in the sure and certain knowledge that God will always, as he has promised, bless and honor his word. So bring your Bibles. Come along. We are going through together the book of the prophet Zechariah, one of the last books of the Old Testament. And as I have said many times, and you've heard me say it, one of the truly apocalyptic books, right along with Daniel and Revelation and portions of Isaiah, of course, but Zechariah, very much so. So open up to chapter 1 of Zechariah. We will begin again in verse 7 today. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far out as we can get it to as many as we can get it out to. And to that end, we require the support of our listeners. We are not supported by any denomination or any organization, really. We need your prayers. Please pray for Dialogue. Pray for me. Pray that this word will go out. Pray that lives will be changed. I beg of you, write our names down and tell others about us. And as I often say on here, as you've heard me say, we are always delighted to hear from our listeners, and we would like to hear from you. Our mailing address, if you'd care to write, is Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. If you didn't get that, why, keep your writing materials handy. Paul Sublett will give it to you at the end of the broadcast. You say, well, why should I write? Well, why not? We would love to hear from you, answer any questions you have, provide you with any materials that you may need that we can have and get to you. And all of this absolutely without any strings attached. So let us hear from you. If you want to email, our email address, is Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. Okay? Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. Our webpage, Dialogue Ministries, all small letters, all one word, .org. Okay, dialogueministries.org. And finally, if you would like to call and talk to me, I'd be delighted to talk to you. You will get a recording, and you leave a message, and I'll call you back. Probably at my convenience, but I will get back with you. Okay, our telephone number, area code 405-535-9089. That's 405-535-9089. All right, we got down to the seventh verse and into the seventh verse a little bit last time, but let me give it to you again. Let me begin reading, because it's in the seventh verse that Zechariah really begins to see these apocalyptic visions. And up to now, it's not that he hasn't heard from the Lord. He has heard from the Lord, and we saw this back in, you know, from the very beginning in verse 1 and 2, and the Lord speaking to him, and he in turn speaking to Israel, "Turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you," and so on and so forth. But in the seventh verse, we get something very different and very special. Now, let me say something about this. Anyone who knows anything about me knows how I feel about Israel and about the Jews. And I am a very staunch and avid and perhaps even heated supporter of Israel and the Jews. I am absolutely never to be identified with anyone who says in any way, shape, form, or fashion that God is through with national Israel and will not fulfill his promises to them. On the other hand, I am not a blind follower. I can read the Old Testament. I can read the New Testament. I know that Israel and Jerusalem have, over the years, been very disobedient to the Lord. They have repeatedly gotten into idolatry and into sin and into evil and into wickedness. And even as I speak to this day as a people, that's exactly where they are. Now, for those of you, if you are Jews out there, and you may be offended by what you just heard me say, but look, I got to tell you the truth. If you are a Jew, you listen to me. You will not see the Lord Jesus Christ again as a people. And Jerusalem will not see him again until, as a people and as a group, the remnant of Israel cries, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And they will turn back to him, and they will repent of their wickedness and evil. And Zechariah talks about that. We'll see it later on. The problem that existed in Zechariah's day is exactly the problem that exists today. Israel, or, you know, the 10 northern tribes had long since gone into captivity at the hand of the Assyrians. And now the two southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin, had been carried away into captivity by the Babylonians. And Zechariah is writing from Babylon. Now, it's not for nothing that they're out there. They're out there because of their sin and their evil and their wickedness, their idolatry, their turning away from the Lord, their refusal to bow the knee to him and to be obedient to his word. If any of you out there are Jews and you don't believe what I'm just saying, or you think I'm just making that up, get your Old Testament out and read Jeremiah. And read what Jeremiah says and what he said to the Jews at his day. And he's not the only one, but that'll be a good start for you. Now, Zechariah is in Babylon. He was born in the captivity, as I told you last time, I believe. And he says in verse 7, "Upon the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month Sebat, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying." All right. Now, this month, Sebat, this was February. The Jews had a different calendar than we have. It was in February, and it was no doubt that this date is important, or the Lord wouldn't put it in here. So let's just hold on to that right now. We'll talk about that a little later. Here we have the word of the Lord coming to Zechariah, and let's see what the word of the Lord was. "I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse, and he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him were their red horses, speckled and white." Now, you might read that and say, what in the world could this possibly be talking about? Well, I'll give you my take on it. And, you know, if I'm wrong, well, you can say, well, I heard you, Miller, but I think you were wrong. Okay, I'll give you my take on it anyway. First off, I want you to notice that this was a vision. Zechariah says, "I saw it." Now, Vernon McGee says, and I quite agree with him, This was not a dream that Zechariah had. This indeed was a vision. The way Zechariah describes this, he makes it clear. And this is a red horse, and of course the Hebrew word is Adam, same word that we get our word Adam from. And the man riding on the red horse, the word in Hebrew is Ish, which means a mortal man. And we might ask ourselves, who is this man? Can we identify him? Well, I believe that we can. I believe that we can if we look in verses 11 and 12. We notice in verses 11 and 12 that he is identified as the angel of the Lord. Now, the angel of the Lord, and you may have heard me say this before, is clearly identifiable in the Old Testament. This is where this statement occurs over and over again, is clearly identifiable as the pre-carnate Christ. This is the Christ of God, the Son of the living God. And there are reasons for saying this, and I won't go into them now. I hope that you will at this point take my word for it. But don't just take my word for it. Read it yourself. Go into your Old Testament. Look and see where this saying occurs, and see how the angel of the Lord is treated. You might, for example, take a look in the 17th chapter of Genesis and see what the angel of the Lord says, and you will notice in so many of the cases where the angel of the Lord appears that this angel is worshiped. Those to whom he appears bow the knee to him, and he receives worship. And only God can receive worship. Just that simple, friends. So this is just one indicator. What we have here, once again, I believe, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's riding a red horse. Now, red, frequently in the scripture, the color red will stand for blood and often, therefore, for warfare of some kind. When the Lord Jesus comes back in Revelation to the earth, and way back at the end of the book, he is riding a white horse. Well, the white horse generally stands for victory and power over one's enemies. The red horse, once again, often stands, and I think it does in this case, for warfare, and more specifically, perhaps, for blood that is shed in warfare. When our Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross in outside Jerusalem on that hill called Golgotha, he shed his blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sins. And I wish for you to all understand that at that time, there was warfare going on. There was a struggle going on an unseen level between the Lord God and the evil forces of the enemy. And the Lord Jesus came out of that one victorious. He vanquished his enemy. But it was war. And, you know, we see him hanging on that cross and uttering, you know, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we sometimes, I think, tend to forget that there was a battle being waged there. And our Lord won it, and it is because of his victory, not just his death, but his burial and resurrection, his ascension back to heaven. It is for this reason and this reason alone that we are saved today and will one day be with him in heaven. Praise God. Now here our Lord is riding a red horse, and he is standing among myrtle trees that were in the bottom. This is a valley, probably a brook or a river of some kind running through it. We're in verse 8 now. And behind him were there red horses, and speckled and white, or perhaps bays, or sorrels even. I don't know, but there were other horses. And you will notice here, let's just think, look at this. There, he stood among myrtle trees, this rider on the red horse. that Zechariah saw. He was standing among myrtle trees that were in the bottom, down in the valley. Now, the myrtle tree is one of those trees, one of those plants in the Bible that stands one way or another and is identified with the nation of Israel. It is not the only tree or plant that stands for Israel. The fig tree stands for Israel. The vine, the grapevine, many times is made to stand for Israel. But here it is the myrtle tree, or we would call it the laurel tree, probably. The word myrtle, incidentally, is the word Hadassah in Hebrew. It's the word that Queen Esther took her name from. Her Hebrew name was meant a myrtle tree or a laurel. And here we have this rider on the red horse, and there are other horses also behind him. And Zechariah speaks. He speaks to the rider of the red horse, "Oh, my Lord, what are these?" And the angel that talked with me said unto me, "I will show thee what these be." And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, "These are they whom Yahweh hath sent to walk to and fro through the earth." And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, "We have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest." Then the angel of the Lord, notice it again, answered and said, "O Yahweh Tzabaoth, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years? Now, this question makes it clear that Zechariah, at the beginning of his vision, is looking at the situation that existed at the very day and at the very time that he was living and writing. What was going on at that time? Well, as we know, Jerusalem had been destroyed. The temple had been torn down. The population had been dispersed and carried away captive into Babylon. And even as Zechariah was writing, the cities of Judah were laid waste. And Judah and Israel were out of the land, and there was indignation and wrath. And as a Jew living in Babylon, Zechariah's question was very appropriate. Now, I'm going to assume that Zechariah had what Daniel had, because as I've told you already, Daniel was a contemporary of Zechariah, and he was living at the time Zechariah was writing. Daniel, if you go back and read in the 7th chapter of Daniel, you will notice that Daniel had read Jeremiah the prophet, and he knew that 70 years were determined. And at the end of 70 years, he knew, because of Jeremiah once again, that Israel, or a remnant at least, were going back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls, to rebuild the temple, to rebuild the city. Zechariah is also looking at this time. He, too, is writing from the end of the 70 years. And he must know, if he knows anything at all, that the 70 years are at an end and that something is about to happen. Now, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, and I want you to all get this. Israel and Jerusalem in particular are the key to world peace. And in fact, the name Jerusalem means the foundation of peace. The foundation of peace. And Israel and Jerusalem in particular are the key to world peace. We have the statement in the Psalms, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem." And all of you out there, I want to tell you something. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. There can never be peace in this world until Jerusalem is at peace. And furthermore, listen to me now, all of you replacement theologians out there, all of you preterists, all of you supersessionists, all of you who believe that God is through with Israel, I want you to listen to this guy. As I said earlier, I believe nothing of the sort. There can never be peace, not just until Jerusalem is at peace, but more importantly, until Jerusalem is once again, and Israel is back in the hands of Israel, the people Israel, until our Lord Jesus Christ sits on the throne of David in Zion and rules and reigns from there. And Israel is back in the land and has received fully the promise which God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The land is theirs. Now, there will never be peace. All of you out there who are thinking in terms of, you know, just recently we, the Americans, we got Mahmoud Abbas and the Israelis back together for peace talks again. You know what's going to come of that? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. There's going to be no peace between Israel and the Palestinians. It is a waste of time. And all of you, if I have any Israelis listening to me, you listen to me carefully. You do not trade away any of the land for peace. In fact, you can't trade away the land. It's not going to happen. That land belongs to Israel, and not one square inch of it is going to any Gentile. Now, you'll notice we've been reading in Zechariah here that the Lord, look at verse 13 here, the Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good words and comfortable words. Good words and comfortable words. Everything was quiet. Everything seemed to be at peace while Zechariah was writing this, but in fact, and there were good, comfortable words. I don't know what the words were exactly, but I think that we'll see them in verse 14 when we get into it. Then, in fact, let's just see what the good, comfortable words were, and we'll have to end here, and we'll take it up again here next time. The angel that communed with me said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. Now, Jerusalem is the Lord's city. It is the city of the great king. It is the city of Messiah. It is the city from which Messiah will reign and rule this earth with a rod of iron. That city does not belong to anyone other than Messiah, and he, friends, is a Jew. He is out of the line of David and out of the house of David. And there will, at the risk of repeating myself unduly, never be peace unless and until Messiah sits on the throne of David, his father, ruling from Jerusalem. And until that time, all of the efforts of men to bring peace on this earth are going to come to nothing. They are utterly futile. Well, that's all we'll have time for. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.